Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 1. She always seemed to do the right thing, was always so respectful and well-ordered. She was so neat and clean, had such high moral standards. She didn't date, nor did she engage in all the worldly affairs that so many young adults do today. That's why we were all so surprised when she stopped attending church and moved in with another man. What happened? What happened? He always had a smile on his face when around other people, but seldom when he was alone. He tried so very hard to keep order in his home and to live a well-respected life, but he was never satisfied that it was enough. He seemed to care greatly about the things of God, but seemed to lack the joy of resting in God. What do you think is wrong? In every way, their household seemed to truly seek God. In every way but one. Money. Do you think that's okay? Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're going to be talking about the dangers of sin. Beware of sin. And specifically, there are two hidden sins that are lethal to any Christian. All sin is lethal and all sin is destructive. This morning we're going to focus on two killer sins that sometimes don't seem to be that lethal, that bad, because they dwell in secrecy. If you have an outline, there's some in the back there. But the two sins we're going to be looking at is the sin of hypocrisy and the sin of covetousness. Covetousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to define hypocrisy here. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another. So there's a large gathering around the Lord. They're stepping on each other's toes to hear what the Lord would say. And Jesus is going to use this opportunity to teach us a very important lesson. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, okay, of first importance, this is very important, mark this as a priority, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is what we do, what a person does, when they give an impression of having certain purposes or motives, while in reality having quite different ones. And so it would be as simple as someone serving another person. Well, at face value, you would think, well, this is good. This person is serving someone their meal. We're going to have a fellowship meal, and you could be as simple as serving someone a fellowship meal. And you would assume that if a brother or sister is serving you, that they're doing it out of love for God and love for you. That would be the right way of thinking about such an act, right? Well, see, a Pharisaical heart always, it switches things up. It switches good actions with wrong motives. Good actions with wrong motives, wrong reasons, which do affect the behavior, but the behavior's tried to be masked. And so a hypocrite would do that, would serve others so that you affirm they're serving them. See, it's the motive. And that motive is masking and actually stifling of any true spiritual life. Another way to define hypocrisy would be to pretend to be something that you're not. To pretend to be something that you are not. And so we know this word comes from the Greek word which had to do with play acting. What an actor would do. And they would put on a mask. They would play the role of a hypocrite. They would pretend to be someone like an actor when they're not. And so a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be righteous when in fact they are not. Again, hypocrisy is not someone struggling to do the right thing. It is not someone who loves God's word and wants to live it out. Hypocrisy is someone who does not care to live God's word out, but loves to be seen as one who does. That is hypocrisy. Now, Jesus calls to hypocrisy a very descriptive word. What does he say it's like? What does he say that it is? Getting your word there? Leaven. Leaven. Yes. Now, what does a little bit of leaven do to the entire loaf of bread? It puffs it up. Yes. And so the point here is that a little bit can affect a great amount. A little bit can affect a great amount. And so this sin does not take a lot of it to completely contort, disfigure, and just kind of wreck true spirituality. True spirituality. Hypocrisy deals with, is a word that can denote general wickedness or evil, self-righteousness, pretense, or breach of contract. You see, with hypocrisy, it's the cloak that tries to cover evil. Not the blood, not grace, okay? But a man-made cloak that tries to conceal evil from others and pass it off as light. An example this week of hypocrisy, you could call this political hypocrisy. Political hypocrisy is pretty popular in our day, as in any day. I just got this letter in the mail this week. I'll read it to you here. It says, you won't believe what some legislators and lobbyists have proposed behind closed doors to solve our state budget's deficit. And that's what caught my attention there. Behind closed doors. Where do hypocrites love to thrive in? Behind closed doors, right? They hiding things. They got to hide it. Why? Because it's not acceptable, and they know that. So they got to put it originates behind closed doors, gets spun up there, and then can be brought out as tried to be brought out as something that would be for light or for good. We're going to do this for good. We're going to do this for the good of our country, right? Here is a spending bill for the good of our country that originated behind closed doors, and the people that voted for it, they didn't even read it. Full of all kinds of heinous things that are really designed to bankrupt the country and in order of a special interest group. So that is hypocrisy. Let me finish this letter here. I know you're all in suspense to what this is, and I do want to finish this letter. That's because for years, our elected leaders have told us it would never happen in Arizona. And because an overwhelming and growing amount of research has revealed that it has a devastating impact on communities and families. And to top it off, because history shows that it never, ever comes close to delivering the financial windfall that it's promised. What is this? Gambling. It's gambling. And so there's a new proposal right now that is in our state legislature. They're trying to push open gambling in this state. Oh, to try to help the budget shortfall. See, that is hypocrisy. It's going to do some good. We have a shortage in our state budget. So I know, let's use gambling. Well, we all know gambling is wicked. There's nothing good in that. But a hypocrite would do it behind closed doors, try to hide it, and do it out in the light. So we need to be praying about this. You'll be more made aware of this through the different avenues to try to, you know, stand against this wickedness. Because we know gambling is against the word of God, and that's why it's wrong. It can never produce anything good. Anything against God's word is not good. Pretty simple statement, isn't it? But in our day and age, that's a pretty profound thought. That is political hypocrisy. And we're all familiar with that. And so we all want to beware of that. Hypocrisy is a wicked thing. It's a wicked thing. Self-righteous hypocrisy. Self-righteous hypocrisy. This is could be also called religious hypocrisy. Self-righteous hypocrisy would be doing good for man and not for God. It has a motivation of doing good, looking good in front of man and not God. Only the way it seeks to look good in front of man is by doing religious things. And that's where it gets confusing, doesn't it? It gets very confusing here. An example of this, Jesus said it in Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father. Or to do good as unto the Lord. Well, see, hypocrites want to do good to be seen by man. Now, is it wrong if men see your good deeds? No. They're to see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But the focus is God. It's His righteousness. What a hypocrite does is he truncates it and sees himself as the end, and God is the means to accomplish his end, which is self-glorification. And so any religious activity can be skewed, even the best religious activity, giving to others. Jesus goes on, therefore, when you do charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Jesus also says this about prayer in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Why do you pray? We just had a public prayer time. Why do you pray here? We pray because we want God's will. To pray God's will on earth as it is in heaven for the glory of God. We went over the Lord's Prayer, Luke chapter 11. That's why we pray. Why does a hypocrite pray? Why? Hypocrites would love to pray in an assembly like this. Why? To be heard by men. To be heard pontificating and saying great prayers. I had a brother here come to me one time a couple years ago, and he said, oh, Jason, I don't know about this public prayer time. You know, how do I know if I'm being a hypocrite or not in my prayer? And my first question to him is, well, because he prayed pretty long prayers. My first question is, do you pray like that in your private prayer life? Because that would be a first cue. If you're praying these great prayers in the assembly, and you're not praying them before God in your secret place, which is what the Lord instructs us in Matthew 6, right? What is that an indication of? If you're not doing it before God in private, but you are doing it in public, there's a discrepancy there. I think that would be a pretty good indication of possible hypocrisy. Right? I mean, Jesus said, go in your prayer closet. That is the heartbeat of worship. Right? That is where it's got to start. You and God. God alone before in your prayer closet. Getting alone with God. Seeking His face. Amen? Family worship. In your own life. In your own world. How are we praying in our family worships? I don't know too many fathers that really want to impress their children with how they can pray. Maybe there's some. Usually it's oppressing other people, not usually their children. But if that's you, hey, where is it in your prayer life? Where is it in your heart? See, because the normal way, the biblical way, yeah, we're sinning. This is all, that we're all doing this for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Hypocrisy will kill you. Hypocrisy reverses this whole thing. and does it with impure motives. And an impure motive bring about a skewed worship, a skewed practice, a weird way of thinking about God and faith, of even the best things, prayer, preaching, the word. I mean, some of the best religious activities you can do, the hypocrite turns them around and uses them to glorify himself and not God. He cloaks them and tries to turn light for darkness and darkness for light. Plays the hypocrite. Kneeling down to get approval from men. Can go to the nth degree to get approval from men. There is no religious form that hypocrisy cannot try to take over except for one thing. Sincere religious devotion to God. Can't master that, okay? That's why a hypocrite is going to hate sincere religious devotion to God, because he can see what it produces, but can never really get that full thing. That's why the Pharisees, they were what of the Lord? They were jealous. They wanted that. Oh, if I had what he had, then all the people would see me, right? They want what the sincere person has, what the true believer has, but the way they go about it, they will always fall and fall and live a frustrated life of condemnation, because they're seeking it for self, not by grace, through faith, from God alone. This is the leaven that destroys the heart, brothers and sisters. Please, beware of this leaven. Beware of it. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. I hope you see how destructive this is, and how a little leaven can just whoosh your spiritual life. Just destroy it. You and your family. It knows no gender. It knows no position. It knows no rich or poor. It is not a respecter of any person. Any person who elevates himself and puts on a cloak of disguise can be guilty of this hypocrisy. And I tell you what, we got to be aware of it. Beware of it. First generation Christians have to be aware of this. Okay? But if first generation Christians have to be aware of this, you better believe that especially second generation Christians and third and fourth and fifth need to be very aware of this, okay? Because you, our children here, and all the children here, by the grace of God, are second generation, you're growing up in a, you are specifically susceptible to the sin of hypocrisy. Because you had to embrace some forms. And if you embrace some of the expressions of religion without a heart of religion, you can be a great religious Pharisee. We understand that? And we've seen some come through here, haven't we? Some of our older teens, they get saved. And they confess, oh, I did that before man. And we're like, yes, it can happen to us. It can happen to us. And so you must be very careful. And parents, we must be very careful how we raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The problem of the heart of every problem is a problem of the what? Of the heart. And Jesus continually brings it back to the heart. I love proper religious expressions. I love biblical form. But why? So that I can use it on myself to glory? No! For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Understand this. Oh God, help us to be aware of this. Help us to be aware of this. Okay? We're going to look at now four ways of rooting out hypocrisy. We just got to define it. And I hope you're praying while the word's being preached. Lord, show me. Lord, help me. Amen? You know the power of prayer while the word's being preached. Say the private prayers. Lord, show me. Lord, open me. Because hypocrisy is blinding. You can always see it in others, but we want to see it in here. Four ways to expose and root out hypocrisy. The first one is this. We need to know this. God will reveal what men hide. Know this. God will reveal what men hide. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you spoke in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. hypocrisy lives in darkness and secrecy. Jesus says, know this. Your hypocrisy, if there is a hypocrite among us, and I mean someone who's really playing this game, okay? God knows it, and God will expose it. God knows it, and God will expose it. There is nothing hidden that will not be known. Nothing. That's good news for us, isn't it? We have a loving God. He loves us. And He's going to bring it to pass. If you embrace that and live with that knowledge, it will ruin hypocrisy from your life. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ in a given account. All of us. And that account begins, yes, in the future, obviously we stand before the Lord. But it also applies to now. Now. It will be revealed in the Lord's timing. Okay? It will not be gotten away. You don't get away with anything. We don't get away with anything, do we? If you're a child of God, you don't get away with it. Hebrews chapter 12. He disciplines and loves those who are His. So we say praise God. Okay? So the first way to root out hypocrisy, God will reveal what men hide in your heart. You think you're hiding. You think you're getting away with this. You think you're using your excuses for cloaking, and it seems to be going pretty good, okay? And that hypocrisy is elevating you above man in their eyes, and you're riding high on this wave. It's gonna pop, okay? Just like the economy, you didn't think the economy, but we thought things were so secure. God popped it. Boop. Hey, now we're seeing a little clearer with what the banks have been doing with fiat money and all of these scams, right? It pops. Where 2 years ago, oh man, this is solid. Yeah, it's about as solid as water. You know, that's what hypocrisy does. It's about as solid as air or water. And there's no form to it. It's a sponge, okay? Second thing, fear God, not man. Fear God, not man. Now, I think he's writing to his friends here. He calls us friends for those who love him. A hardened hypocrite hates the sincere worship of God. A hardened hypocrite wants to destroy it. We saw that in the Pharisees at the end of this section, in verse 11. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, the most hardened hypocrites are going to be the most fierce persecutors of the truth and of authentic Christian life. Okay? They're going to hate it. Because again, they want it, but they can't have it, and they're jealous, and their conscience condemns them. And those who feel condemned, what do? They condemn. Right? The forgiven forgive, the condemned. The condemned condemn. And so they bring condemnation. Okay? Jesus says, don't fear them. Okay? Do not fear. I say to you, my friends, verse 4, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. That's God's perspective for us of a sincere religious faith. We do not fear those who can kill the body. That's all they can do is kill the body. Well, that's pretty much. Yeah, it is something. But it's not forever. He goes on. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed. Isn't that an interesting switch right there? They killed the body. Who is sovereign in all things? He, you see that? Has killed. Right? Has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. We're in for some difficult times in our culture. We're in for some troubling times in our world right now, in America. Okay? If you not read the newspaper, no, don't read the newspaper. Go online and read half the stuff that's there. I'm not going to be able to ever do that, but You know what I'm talking about, right? Tribulation is mounting. It's mounting. Who are we going to fear in this time? A hypocrite is going to fear man. Try to save his life. You know, it's going to be... And God will use the tribulation to reveal it. It'll have that effect. Or the sincere believer is going to say this. You can kill me, but you cannot touch my soul. I will fear God and serve Him only. That's freedom. That's liberty. That's liberty. We fear no one but King Jesus. We fear no one but King Jesus. In the ultimate sense. Fear Him. Fear Him. Fear God above all. That destroys the hypocrite's primary motive, doesn't it? If the hypocrite's primary motive is to fear men. Remember the Pharisees. They're always afraid of the people. Well, Jesus could control the Pharisees pretty easy by shutting them up, by saying things and doing things to put them in a bad light in the people. Because they're just like, oh, the people are going to think bad of us. We can't say these things. They were hamstrung. They couldn't speak out against the people. And Jesus, He did the will of His Father, boldly walked in wherever He was, and did the will of God. Indifferent to the appraisal and the condemnation of man. He did the will of His Father. If you have a heart to fear God and God alone as your primary motive, you will not be a hypocrite. Amen? It's as simple as this, as I can say it. I think that's the point of this here. I'll give you an example in Galatians 2. Galatians 2 verse 11. Galatians 2 verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I, that is Paul, withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, the hypocrites, he withdrew himself. Why? Fearing those who were of the circumcision. Peter didn't stand fast in his liberty. He feared man. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Remember, hypocrisy is a leaven that can leaven the whole person, the whole household, and the whole church. So here are some of the strongest leaders being leavened by hypocrisy. You better believe it could happen to us. Peter? Barnabas? They were leavened by hypocrisy because they feared man more than God. So into this hypocrisy party, you ever been to a hypocrisy party? Where everyone's just fearing man and trying to get one up on each other and right? A bunch of man pleasers and man fears. Oh, I love hypocrisy parties by the grace of God. Paul walks in there and he fears God. And what does Paul do? But when I saw that they were not straightforward with the truth. Okay, that's your hypocrisy. The truth of the gospel. I said to Peter, before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? What does he do? Exposes their hypocrisy. So we who fear God, by the grace of God, what are we to do? Speak the truth in love that you may grow. That's it. Speak the truth in love. Not get all whacked out, not go all offended and up. No. You're in the wrong camp then. It's the wrong response. Speak the truth in love. Paul walked in, he spoke the truth in love, and he confronted them head on in their hypocrisy. Amen? You see that example? You see how important it is to fear God? If you fear man, if you fear circumstance, if you fear anything other than God, you're bound by hypocrisy already. It's a given. Because a wrong motive is going to bring a wrong application in your life. It always will. It always will. Proverbs 10:18 says this. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. Boy, there's a hypocrisy. That's not a verse on hypocrisy. Think about this. Whoever hides hatred. Again, how are you doing? Fine. Are you upset? No. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Nothing. Maybe you're just like this. Maybe you're the quiet.
Nothing.
What are you doing? You're hiding hatred with lying lips. That's hypocrisy. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Okay, let's try this coming to light. What's wrong? I'm angry. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? The light just takes care of it. The light is brilliant and just burns it away. But why doesn't the hypocrite want to just bring that to the light? He doesn't want you to think bad of him. He doesn't want to deal with it. Right? He wants to stay hidden.
Leave me alone. Don't touch me. I'm in the darkness and I want to stay there.
It's the opposite of speaking the truth in love. It's going to hide. It's going to hide. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. Slanders are always hypocrites. They speak about other people to bring them down and to exalt who? Self. That's what the hypocrite feeds on. The exaltation of self. And a hypocrite will go to the great extent to get that exaltation. A hypocrite will go without food and water to gain that awe or that respect from men in self-exaltation. And he'll criticize everybody who's not doing it like he is. Because his is the only way. See, I hope you see the motive and the behavior of a hypocrite. And God, may we have an understanding heart to see this. The hypocrite thrives on condemning. A hypocrite thrives on being critical of others. And we need the discernment to discern a sincere speaking the truth in love. Was Paul a hypocrite when he went in there? No. Many of you are trying to resolve conflict in your life. And you fear you're being a hypocrite. Well, what I can see is I see sincere, broken people who've messed up their lives in sin, trying to come to the light, trying to speak the truth in love to actually resolve conflict. And people are calling you a hypocrite and you get scared. As long as you don't get scared of people, you're not a hypocrite. You're actually sincerely trying to follow God, and people are getting ticked at you because they're in their hypocrisy and God is using you to shed light on their sin. So keep going in this thing, okay? We need the discernment. On the other hand, if you're hiding in your sin and using this as a cloak of covetousness to hide your sin and not deal with conflict in life, then you're perpetuating hypocrisy, being fearful of man. And you see how slippery the slopes are? A verse that keeps coming to my attention and my thinking, Deuteronomy chapter 12, the end of the chapter there. This is what I command you. Don't add anything to it or take anything from it. Don't add anything to it or take anything from it. This is the commandment. Don't add anything to it or take anything from it. Well, that pretty much leaves me in a position of a slave. That I am not to add anything to the word or take anything from the word. That means I don't have a lot of my own independent thinking in coming to God, does it? If I'm not to add anything to it or take anything away from it, the all-sufficient word of God to know the will of God, it's pretty straight and narrow. Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of it. God will reveal it. Fear God, not man. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will find mercy." Here's the hypocrite's way of escape. Come to the mercy of God. Here's the door. Be free from your hypocrisy. Be free. You want to keep concealing it, you'll never prosper. Come to God's mercy. Remember God's care for you. Remember God's love for you. God is going to now speak about His love and kindness and His care for you. He says this, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who, after He has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him." He doesn't leave us there. He goes on to the care of God. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" God knows, God acts, God sees, God is sovereign. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of God. He knows, He cares, He's involved. Doesn't that make a difference? When you go through trials and tribulations, God knows, God sees, God acts, God cares. God has ordained, God has sustained, God knows of the trials. And he goes on, he says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, aren't you more value than many sparrows? God says, I love you, I care for you, I've ordained you, I've created you, I'm ordering things according to my will. I have not forgotten, I see and I care for you. Try to count the hairs of your head. You can't. God can. God is working all things together for good to those who love you. You can trust His kindness. A hypocrite rejects His kindness. A hypocrite does not come to the light. A hypocrite shuts the door of his heart to the mercy of God. But for the true believer, we know the kindness of God leads us to repentance. The kindness of God leads me to repent. The kindness and the mercy of God. He who confesses, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Remember God's care for you. God loves you. And confess that love before men. Confess that care before men. Confess that all-sufficient grace of God before men. The fourth point, confess God before men. Brothers and sisters, what you confess reveals what you seek to impress. What you confess reveals what you seek to impress. What you confess before man reveals your heart. Okay? What do you confess before men? And every person on the planet has two options, God or self. God or self. Every person on the planet is going to confess one of two things, God or self. Jesus says this, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels. That's what I want, by the grace of God. That's the God-centered man. Confession before the Son of Man will do this. But he who denies me before man will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Keep yourselves in the love of God, brothers and sisters. The Spirit of God will give you the utterances to say, to confess before man. What are you confessing before men now? What you confess before man will determine what the Lord has to say about you for all eternity. The hypocrite confesses himself. He confesses himself. Self-accomplishment. You ever been around someone who just wants a little, he just dingles a little knowledge dropping? Oh, I did that. I can do that. I've been there and done that. He just talks about himself all the time. Whatever anybody has to say, oh, I have credentials and I knew someone who did that and when there's a pressure point, well, he confesses himself. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you, man. Let another praise you. And not your own mouth, a stranger. And not your own lips. Stop confessing it. The proverb says, every man will confess his own goodness or even his own faithfulness. But a faithful man, who can find? Men love to talk about how good they are and how faithful they are. It's hypocrisy. Why do they do that? To get the approval of man. Paul says, I'd rather boast in my weakness. Confession before man reveals the heart. Brothers and sisters, the Lord said it. Let's confess Christ. Let's give glory to God. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved image, period. God does not give his glory to others. Amen? It's to the glory of God alone that we live. It's to the glory of God alone that we confess. If we're on trial, we confess, you must be born again. We confess there is no other law but the law of God. There's no other standard but the Bible. I live what is right and what is wrong by the Scripture. My conscience is to be captivated by the Word of God. So any success or failure, failure is my sin, success is God's part. Amen? confess him before men? Do you confess him? Do you confess him before man? Paul did it this way. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. We preach the gospel. We live the gospel. We confess this before men. Someone says to you, oh, you have such a wonderful family. Oh, thank you. I work very hard. What? Hypocrisy. Why you say that? No. Oh, you have a wonderful family. Thank you. By the grace of God, he's given me this. It was a lot of work. Right on. That's what Paul said, isn't it? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that grace was not in vain, but it caused me to labor. Remember the grace alone sermon? Grace produces everything that's authentically Christian. Grace motivates labor. Grace does this. It is effective grace. And so, yeah, but why? The grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Man, that was you built a great thing there. Great meal. You put labor into it. You take credit for that labor? No, you confess this before men. God has some incredible things for us to do. To turn this valley for Christ. But God has to humble us a lot before he can do it. And God has to show us that it's only by his grace that it will be done. Because it will destroy us if we become hypocritical and say, oh, it's we who did it, right? Gideon had to tear down his father's idol first, then he had to limit his army. Too many people, you guys will take credit for it. Not going to work. God uses the weakest means to fulfill his will so that all things he receives the glory. God chooses the foolishness of preaching. God brings down the greatness of a kingdom through babies. God's plan. The weakest means to fulfill his will. I love that. I love that that psalm that we sung. Amen? So that in all things we confess him before men. We confess him when we go to the grocery store. Would you like some good news? We give out some. I hope the tracks are going. Confession. 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 Confessing before man. I am a Christian. I am identified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Identify myself with Christ. Would you like some good news? You know where you're going to know when you die. Every relationship we have, everybody that we know, by our words and by our actions, they need to know that we confess Christ. If they do not know by our words and by our actions, then we are not confessing Christ. And we're not going to get into this silly debate, well, I just live it, or I just speak it. Well, we know, we've gone over that before. Both extremes are wrong. It's only by the both wings of the airplane that the thing can fly. You got to live it, and you got to confess it. To everybody. Your neighbor, your coworker, there's people in your life that you have not confessed Christ with, and you need to, and you're scared of their relationship, you're scared they may think bad of you, you're scared that they may think you a fool or some other thing like that, and that hypocrisy is holding you back. And you need to take this thing, you need to take these 4 points and say, God, it's going to be exposed, it might as well be now. Let's bring it to the light. Right? Fear God alone, don't worry about what men think. Keep yourself in the love of God and confess Christ. You do those 4 things, you're not going to be a hypocrite. Amen? Amen. Second sin. Now, maybe that'll be next week's sermon. Yeah, we're going to do that. I can cut it here. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I shouldn't say that. I'm not sorry. Well, if I preach it, I either have to really, have to bring it in. What do you want me to do? Huh? Just choose. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, let's end it there. Because I don't want to take away from covetousness, because I think these are very important sins. And covetousness is a big one too. And so, you got your outline for next week? And so let's take some time and study over covetousness for next week. I want to open up for the men to speak about hypocrisy. I don't want to cut the sharing time. I want to have time to share about this hypocrisy so that we can kick it around and see how the Lord leads us in our conversation. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh God, we praise you for your message. We praise you for your word. Lord, bring light to our hearts. Oh God, may we beware of hypocrisy. I pray, God, for myself, for my family, for my brothers, Lord, for this church, Lord, that you keep us from this sin. That we would fear you and worship you alone, Lord God. That you would do great and mighty things as we confess you and bring glory to your name and to your name alone. Lord God, beware of the sin of hypocrisy, God. Oh God, we thank you for giving us light and giving us life through your word. Lord, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We thank you, Almighty God, and we praise you in Jesus' name.